upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Greetings, my friends, from Technocracy News and Trends. This is Patrick Wood, editor-in-chief and founder of Technocracy News and Trends. We have a wonderful opportunity today to showcase sustainable development, aka technocracy, with three stories that really hit the nail on the head. Number one, NASA persists in the false claim that 97% of climate scientists agree on global warming. Now, I probably should say that criticizing NASA is almost tantamount to criticizing the military in America, and if you do that, in many circles, you will be ostracized as being anti-American. Well, you all certainly know that I am not anti-American any way, shape, or form. I am pro-Constitution, pro-rule of law, and pro-American all the way. But NASA, as it turns out, has been full of technocrats for decades. It's been a hotbed of technocracy and technocratic thinking, where engineers and scientists are paid with taxpayer money to do basically anything that comes into their mind. And they do. And so we see, for instance, a consistent thread for well over 20 years of NASA wanting to journey to Mars to build spaceships and so on to get civilization to another planet, namely Mars. We've also seen this same thought crop up with people like Jeff Bezos at Amazon, Elon Musk at Tesla. They also are Class A1 technocrats. But NASA has a problem with integrity. It has persisted in claiming for many years now that climate scientists agree universally almost on global warming being caused by mankind, by man's activities. In fact, they claim that 97% of all climate scientists agree that this is the case. This is blatantly false. This article starts out and says, on Tuesday, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI, sent NASA a formal complaint asking the agency to withdraw the false claim that 97% of climate scientists agree that humans are the primary cause of global warming and climate change. The 2013 study purporting to demonstrate that number was fatally flawed and proved no such thing. CEI attorney Devin Watkins said in a statement, the claim that 97% of climate scientists believe that humans are the primary cause of global warming is simply false. That figure was created only by ignoring many climate scientists' views, including those of undecided scientists. It is time that NASA correct the record and present unbiased figures to the public. According to the CEI complaint, NASA's decision to repeat the false claim violated the Information Quality Act. Specifically, NASA claimed that 97% of climate scientists agree that climate warming trends over the past century are extremely likely due to human activities. The claim appears on the NASA website and on the page Climate Change, How Do We Know? So basically, it's plastered all over the NASA website. The claim traces back to a study led by John Cook entitled Quantifying the Consensus on Anthropogenic Global Warming in the Scientific Literature, and published in the journal Environmental Research Letters in 2013. The study is fundamentally dishonest, as the CEI complaint explains. The study analyzed all published peer-reviewed academic research papers from 1991 to 2011 that used the term global warming or global climate change. The study placed the papers into seven categories: explicit endorsement with quantification, saying humans are responsible for 50% of climate change; explicit endorsement with quantification; explicit endorsement, no position or uncertain; implicit rejection; explicit rejection with qualification; and explicit rejection without qualification. The study found 64 papers had explicitly endorsed anthropogenic global warming, with quantification attributing at least half of climate change to humans. 992 papers had explicitly endorsed AGW without quantifying how much. 2,910 papers had explicitly endorsed AGW. 7,930 papers did not state a position, and 40 papers were uncertain. 54 papers implicitly rejected AGW by affirming the possibility that natural causes explain climate change. 15 papers explicitly rejected AGW without qualification, and 9 papers explicitly rejected AGW with quantification, saying human contributions to global warming are negligible. So how did Cook and his team come up with the 97% number? Well, they added up the first three categories, which was 3,896 papers, compared them to the last three papers, which contained 78, and the papers expressing uncertainty, there were 40 of those, completely ignored the nearly 8,000 papers that did not state a position. Of the papers Cook's team characterized as stating a position, 97% of these, that is 3,896 of the 414 papers, favored the idea of man-made global warming. You see the problem? The study completely discounted the majority of the papers it analyzed, namely 66.4% of them. With those papers included, only 32.6% of the papers explicitly or implicitly endorsed AGW. Well, that's the fact of the matter. NASA has persisted in this false narrative for all these years, and in my opinion, the reason that NASA has no problem with falsifying data like this is that the technocrats therein are completely given over to perpetuating their own jobs. In every case of a salaried engineer or scientist working at NASA, they're being paid with taxpayer funds. That's not exactly what you'd call a real job. These laboratories are set up with taxpayer money, very little oversight, and very little transparency. The second story that highlights technocracy presents a dilemma. The headline is Mission Impossible, Getting Rid of Chinese Security Cameras. Over the past several years, most of the security cameras that have been installed in America have been made in China. Very few were actually made completely in the United States. A few, but most of them were made in China. That's just like every other manufactured item that we see, it seems like, in stores like Walmart and even Target and others. You turn the product over and look at the bottom of it, it says made in China. Well, the U.S. federal agencies have 5 weeks to rip out Chinese-made surveillance cameras in order to comply with a ban imposed by Congress last year in an effort to thwart the threat of spying from Beijing. But thousands of devices are still in place, and chances are most won't be removed before the August 13 deadline. A complex web of supply chain logistics and licensing agreements make it almost impossible to know whether a security camera is actually made in China or contains components that would violate U.S. rules. The National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, which outlines the budget and spending for the Defense Department each year, included an amendment for fiscal 2019 that would ensure federal agencies do not purchase Chinese-made surveillance cameras. The amendment singles out Zhejiang Dua Technology and the Hangzhou Hikvision Digital Technology Company, both of which have raised security concerns with the U.S. government and surveillance industry. Hikvision is 42% controlled by the Chinese government. Dahua, in 2017, was founded by cybersecurity company Refirm Labs to have cameras with covert backdoors that allowed unauthorized people to tap into them and send information to China. Now, this story goes on. It's just absolutely frustrating to realize that over the last several years, we have embraced Chinese technology like this that was specifically designed to spy on us. And now it's so embedded into our society, including in the offices of federal agencies, that it's almost impossible now to get rid of them. Well, this is a dilemma for somebody else, I suppose, but China's technocracy promised to be exported. We've talked about this many times in the pages of Technocracy News and Trends. China fully intends to export its technocracy wherever it can, whether openly or covertly, doesn't matter. In our case, they've done it covertly, but Americans have been willing to purchase this technology and install it. And now that it's all installed and in, it's going to be almost impossible to get rid of it. Well, we'll see how this turns out. The last story, spent a little bit more time on. The title of this story is Democrats Are Driving Agenda 21 Smart Growth Legislation. This has to do with legislation moving through the House and the Senate right now. It was introduced jointly at the same time in both houses. The name of the act is the Complete Streets Act of 2019. And it's being promoted in the Senate and the House, but it's straight out of the United Nations playbook for implementing sustainable development. Complete Streets, in particular, is an initiative of an organization known as Smart Growth America. And it's an inclusive concept to transform the streets of America by using smart growth techniques, by using Agenda 21 dictates, to include such things as mass transport, bike lanes, provisions for electric scooters and electric bicycles, and other alternative means of transportation. And it's important to note, over the years, ever since 1992, when the Rio de Janeiro conference, the first Earth Summit, created the Agenda 21 doctrine, that both Republicans and Democrats have been absolutely complicit with Agenda 21, and now 2030 Agenda, New Urban Agenda, etc. However, for the most part, anybody that's complained about Agenda 21 ever since 1992 has been branded a conspiracy theorist, a nutcake, a United Nations conspiracy freak. We've seen this happen countless times in print and meetings involving councils of governments, which are spread all across America to promote regional governance. They all uniformly have said, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. It's not true at all. Agenda 21 is a myth. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this over the years. I'm going to play for you the audio track that was captured from 1992 on the House floor concerning HCON Resolution 353, which was introduced by Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat from New York, Representative Sam Broomfield, Republican from Michigan. This is only 6 minutes long, but all three of them speak and express their thoughts on Agenda 21 and what they're doing at that time to promote Agenda 21 and all of the principles and agreements that came out of the First Earth Summit. This is them speaking their own truth into reality. It started in 1992. Listen carefully to each one. The order of speaking, again, is Representative Elliot Engel first, then Nancy Pelosi. She was the sponsor of HCON Res 353. And then Republican Sam Broomfield, who, by the way, was a very prominent Republican leader at that time. And you just can't believe that they now deny that they ever said such a thing. And yet it was captured in living color by C-SPAN, which basically recorded everything that happened in the House and the Senate. And if it were not for C-SPAN, I am certain that we would never have a record of this, and they would be safe and secure in saying it never happened.
End my remarks.
Objection, so ordered. Gentleman's
right. Mr. Speaker, I rise in strong support of HCON Res 353, expressing the sense of the Congress that the United States should assume a strong leadership role in implementing the decisions made at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, developing a national strategy to implement Agenda 21 and other Earth Summit agreements through domestic policy and foreign policy, by cooperating with all countries to identify and initiate further agreements to protect the global environment, and by supporting and participating in a high-level United Nations Sustainable Development Commission as amended. I now yield to the gentlewoman from California, Ms. Pelosi, the sponsor, to explain the resolution.
The gentlewoman from California is recognized.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the gentleman for yielding. In fact, it is a very simple resolution, which the gentleman has just mostly explained. I would, Mr. Speaker, like to take a moment to thank Chairman Fassell and Mr. Broomfield, Mr. Yatron and Mr. B. Ryder, the chair and ranking member of the subcommittee, and the members of the Foreign Affairs Committee for their assistance in expediting consideration of this legislation. The Earth Summit Environmental Leadership Act, as this is known, presents us with an opportunity to follow up on the important work of the Earth Summit to develop its blueprint, Agenda 21, for global environmental action. HCON Res 353 outlines a comprehensive national strategy for sustainable development in accordance with the principles of Agenda 21, to be coordinated under the leadership of a specific office and at the direction of a high-level government official. The resolution also urges the United States to identify and initiate further agreements to protect the global environment and to support the creation of a high-level United Nations Sustainable Development Commission headed by an Undersecretary General. Third and lastly, the President is urged to report to Congress on the progress made on the with this action. Yes. HCON Res 353 is supported by the administration. I have been in contact with the appropriate offices of the State Department and have incorporated their suggestions into the resolution. The 71 co-sponsors in this, of this measure include one half the members of the Foreign Affairs Committee and all of the House delegates to the Earth Summit. It is also supported by the major United States non-governmental organizations concerned with the environmental issues. The Earth Summit presented world leaders with an opportunity that should not be lost. We must now embark on a new course that will sustain our planet and its resources for the benefit of future generations. This resolution calls on the United States to assert its leadership to achieve this goal. I urge my colleagues to support this resolution. Thanks again to the members of the Foreign Affairs Committee for their recognition of the importance and timeliness of this resolution. We must make the promise of Rio a reality. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The gentlewoman's time has expired. The gentleman from Michigan.
Mr. Speaker, I yield myself such time as I need, and I ask permission to revise and extend my remarks.
Without objection, so ordered. The gentleman is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I do support this resolution, which expresses the sense of Congress with respect to implementing the decisions of the recent United Nations Conference on Environment and Development. And I do want to express and commend the gentlelady from California, Mrs. Pelosi, for her sponsorship of this important resolution. Mr. Speaker, despite all of the criticism of the administration policy toward the Earth Summit, the fact is that the United States government made a very constructive contribution in Rio and in the talks that led to the meeting in Rio. Largely as a result of the conference, they adopted four major items: the Rio Declaration on Environment and Development, the lengthy action plan referred to as Agenda 21, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, and the non-binding but authoritative principles for the management and conservation of forest resources. In addition, the conference adopted the UN Biodiversity Convention, which the administration decided not to join at this time. And this was due to concerns about intellectual property and also the decision-making and funding mechanism. The administration has already made a good beginning in implementing the results of the conference. And during the talks on climate, the administration pledged $75 million for related projects in developing countries, including the development of national plans. The President announced that the United States would have our own national plan on climate ready by the end of the year in order to start international consultations in January of 1993. The President announced a Forest for the Future initiative to double worldwide forestry assistance, beginning with $150 million additional U.S. contribution. The administration is preparing for consideration by the UN General Assembly of establishment of the Sustainable Development Commission called for in Rio, and is working on an interagency basis to formulate further plans to implement the other recommendations of the conference. The good start made by the administration shows that the United States is serious about international cooperation to address global environmental problems. The resolution before us calls for similar measures to implement the recommendation of Rio Conference. The State Department does support the provisions of this resolution, which are fully consistent with U.S. policy toward implementing the results of the Earth Summit. Mrs. Pelosi should be further commended for her cooperative attitude on the issues that were raised by the Department at an early stage in the consideration of this resolution. Mr. Speaker, I was also appointed to the Earth Summit as an observer, a delegation. Although I did not actually attend the conference, I did follow the proceedings very carefully. Recently, I had the opportunity to contribute to an article on these matters to a magazine called Michigan International Lawyer. I request that this summary of my views be inserted in the record at the conclusion of my remarks, and I yield back the balance of my
objection,
time.
Sort of. The gentleman yields back his time. Gentleman from New York.
Mr. Speaker, I have no further requests for time and yield back the balance of my time and ask unanimous consent that all members be given 5 legislative days in which to revise and extend their remarks.
Without objection, so ordered. The gentleman yields back.
So there you are. both Republicans and Democrats in Congress, including Representative Nancy Pelosi, who at the time was recently elected to the House of Representatives, they have been complicit in adopting Agenda 21 and sustainable development and UN policies into the United States from day one. And yet these are the same people that say that we are conspiracy nuts for talking about Agenda 21. This is absolutely incredulous. This is the big reason why we should not expect that Washington, D.C. is going to save our communities out here in the hinterland. It's not going to happen. They're the ones implementing these policies and these laws and rules and regulations and so on from the United Nations, which, as you know, if you've been listening to Technocracy News and Trends very long, or if you have read one of my books on technocracy, you know that all of these policies are geared to promote technocracy and the destruction of capitalism and free enterprise in the world, but especially in America. America is in the hot seat right now because Americans do not go along with the idea of giving up their economic system of free enterprise and capitalism. Are there problems with capitalism? Yes. Crony capitalism is a bastardization of what it should be, but nevertheless, the economic system of free enterprise is what has made America great. Since its very inception, property rights were lifted up as being the central core value of free enterprise. Without property rights, the whole system falls apart. And yet, since 1992, property rights have been consistently degraded, shredded, overruled, taken away, and now we're involved in the fight for our life just to stay alive. Indeed, Congress has been complicit from day one, and they're still complicit today, as evidenced by the introduction of the Complete Streets Act of 2019, which was introduced, by the way, by a Democrat, Senator Edward Markey from Massachusetts. Co-sponsor, Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat from Tennessee. This is worth your consideration as to whether or not you should be involved in your local community to drive this stuff out. It's infiltrated every single community in America. I'm convinced there's not one square inch of our country left at this point that has not been influenced by sustainable development and technocracy. It's all around us. If left in place, it will ultimately cause a complete disintegration of our economic system. We must refute it. And only Americans can reject technocracy and sustainable development. The government will not do it. They're the ones who adopted it in the first place, and they're still pushing it. Only Americans can reject technocracy, and we simply must. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Catch you next time.